Tim, how are you?
Good, Tony.
I was reading your piece about Clark Durant. You always crack me up when people who kind of come out of the blue, if you will, to run for a political office. And Clark D. who? First U.S. Senate. That's a shot right off the bow.
Well, it underscores that he's not a household word, but if you've followed Michigan politics for any amount of time, actually he is. Clark Durant is no stranger to Michigan politics, Republican politics. He served on the State Board of Education. He ran unsuccessfully for the U.S. Senate once before and also ran unsuccessfully for the state Supreme Court. And now after 20 years of being out of the political limelight, although he's been around, he's now, I think, going to make a bid for the U.S. Senate, the Republican nomination, regardless of who else is in the race.
We had Randy Heckman on the program on Friday, and he was taken aback by Pete Hoekstra getting into the race, because before he decided to throw his hat into the ring, he and Mr. Hoekstra met, and Pete assured him he wasn't going to get into it, and now he's a little miffed, but he's going to keep moving forward.
Well, I'm sure he will. I think John McCullough down in Oakland County this week will drop out of the race, but I think Clark Durant does get in. I think Dr. Robert Steele, Rob Steele, probably gets in, although that one I'm not so sure of anymore. Hoekstra is obviously in, and there's a gentleman, a businessman up north whose name I couldn't even write a column on this guy because I don't even know his name. It's somebody or other. And so I think it's going to be somewhat of a crowded primary, and that's bad news for everybody from a financial standpoint because it forces Republicans to spend money on a primary that they should be holding on to spend against you-know-who, Debbie Stabenow, the Democratic incumbent.
Oh, well, when we had the gubernatorial race on the Republican side, it looked like Hoekstra was the main name guy, along with Andy Dillon.
Mm-hmm.
And then all these other guys came on board.
Remember, Andy Dillon was a Democrat.
Yeah, and then all these other folks came on board, and Rick made his way through it, and do you think anyone can beat Hoekstra?
Well, the dynamics are not quite the same. You had basically Mr. Snyder was of a different animal altogether from the others in the race, where they're all consummate conservatives. Mr. Snyder, not so much. And so they divided up the conservative vote, and Snyder's, you know, went in as a result of that. I think you're going to have all conservatives in this race, so if there's any dividing up to be, it'll be the deciding who the winner is.
Anything new on the bridge from your end?
Anything new on what?
On the bridge.
On the bridge.
Yes.
It's still not built.
Well, and the reason I ask is I had a Canadian official on the program who said the money is there.
Yep.
As far from our perspective, we're going to get it done, and everyone else's rhetoric about it is false information, and we need the bridge.
Well, part of the rhetoric, I talked to the chairman of the House Transportation Committee, who could be influential on this thing, Representative Paul Opsomer, whom you know from DeWitt, a Republican, and he's just not there. The governor, he says, has not made the case that this really is going to be a public-private operation. He says this is competition with somebody who could build the bridge in the private sector, and Opsomer is not there. Remains to be convinced. The lieutenant governor continues to do his due diligence, but this is an uphill slog.
And from what I'm also hearing is there are some Democrats who are saying, look, if you want us to take a look at this, you need to take a look at some of the things that we want to do, which is the business as usual, I guess, when it comes to politics. But there are a lot of there's a lot of money that folks want pumped into the neighborhoods where they'd be affected by where the bridge emptied out into.
The only sure way for the governor to get this bridge built is for him to take out his checkbook and write a check.
Well, that's not going to happen.
I don't think so. As much as he likes it, I think Mr. Snyder might have something to say about that.
All right, what are you working on for Channel 6 tonight?
We're doing a follow-up piece on Clark Durant running for the Senate.
Who?
Yep. I thought the most interesting, I'm sure you didn't see the interview, along with 9 million other people on Off the Record over the weekend, but the question was, Mr. Durant, had you been in Congress, what would you have done about the auto bailout? What do you suppose he said?
Tell me.
I didn't read the bill.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. What's your response to that? Come on.
It disappoints me.
Well, I mean, you know, like I said, this, you know, this was in the papers, Mr. Durant. The thing, he said, well, but they didn't put the entire bill in the paper. It was the only part of the interview where he looked kind of bad.
See.
He clearly didn't want to take a stance on the thing, although he inadvertently sort of did. He said, you know what, there was a legal process for the car companies to go through first before it got to that. But yet, when the rubber hit the road and the question was, if you had been there, how would you have voted? He took a pass. That's not exactly courageous leadership.
Well, it's not. And, gee, when you get into these positions, Tim, wouldn't you think you'd get with your staff, sit down, get a few pots of coffee, and go through all this stuff?
You would have thunk. Well, yeah, give the benefit of the doubt. He's not a candidate yet, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to hang on to that tape, and I'm sure the question will come up again, as it has come up in Mr. Romney's bid for the presidency. Pete Hoekstra voted for the car bailout and was quite proud of it, and I think everybody, as these auto talks begin today, are saying, you know, it's a good thing that happened, or Bob King would be shaking hands with one automaker. That'd be Ford.
I remember talking with you about this, and you said this, and then Pete Hoekstra said it on my show. Family, friends said, get out of this mess. You don't need it anymore. It wore you down. You don't need it. What changed the tide for him to get back into the Senate race?
Well, that was his mindset in March, and his people tell me put his mind in that set in March, coming off a grueling race for governor. They had just had a very exhaustive lame duck session. Remember, they went real late into the year. So the guy's mindset is, geez, oh, man, I've been through the ringer, okay? And then as spring turns into summer and people start coming to him and say, you know, Pete, there's nobody else in this field that can take Debbie on. You got to be the man. He listened to that stuff, and he changed his mind.
Can she be beaten?
Of course she can. Yeah, anybody can be beaten on any given day. Could she be beaten today? No. Could she be beaten tomorrow? No. Could she beat next year? Yes.
All right, before I let you go, just wanted to get your take. There are state dollars that go to Michigan Works, and there's a story out about some funding being used for a country club membership and also reimbursement for tuition for employees. Is that a big deal?
Well, somebody will make a big deal out of it. I think, wasn't that an Auditor General's report? Or
yes.
Somebody's on top of it. Well, when the Auditor General speaks, the folks on appropriation do listen. So my guess is those folks from Michigan Works will be called on the carpet and be asked to explain. I'm sure they'll have an explanation. Whether everybody buys it or not is the other question.
Lucy, you got some splaining to do.
Lucy, you got some splaining to do. That's a great line, isn't it?
All right. So we'll look for your report tonight on Channel 6.
Thanks, big guy.